Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I'm Anthony Irwin. I probably sound awful, so I apologize in advance to those of you listening to me right now. I am going to talk as little as I possibly can, so there's that to look forward to if you are listening. Based on recent reviews, I would say some of you are pretty thrilled. As always, you can find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. And I hope everybody is using the promo code LOLAKERS to go to all your favorite sporting events, artistic events, all kinds of great stuff. Use your $20 redeemable code after the purchase. Today's show is going to be pretty straightforward. Media Day, if you are listening in the morning, is going to take place in a few hours. It starts at 11 in the morning PT.
Pacific. Yeah.
And then if you will have listened to this after the fact, it'll still be interesting because the conversation is going to predict that stuff. And predictions are kind of fun to find out if we were wrong or right or whatever and all that good stuff. So we're going to talk. We're going to play a little game about Media Day, our Media Day over-unders. Then we're going to talk about the training camp battles that are going to take place. The cuts that are inevitably going to happen from the Lakers because they have 20 guys on the roster right now. That needs to go down to 15 by the start of the regular season. And we have our Monday regular segment, Harrison's Hot Takes. And he's warned me that this one's a... He went to the Sizzler and wrote it at the Sizzler, the restaurant. He found one.
In the actual oven.
Of the Sizzler.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I mean, I'm more of a buffet guy at the Sizzler, but I didn't even know they made regular food.
Yeah, I think they definitely do.
We really appreciate the support from the Sizzler as they have sponsored today's show.
No, they haven't. But I do want to give a quick shout out to Anthony. True pro he is. He was determined to lead in the show despite barely being able to talk. I was like, Anthony, I can handle the lead in today. And he was like, no, Harrison, I'm going to take care of this because I'm Lakers podcasting Vin Scully. And I don't quit on the job, especially not before training camp. And so I
sound like Batman.
Where are the drugs?
And so I was like, all right, Anthony, just don't hurt yourself. You can take care of this. And so he's doing it, and I appreciate him for it. But he also had the idea of to keep him talking a little bit less during this opening segment of coming up with some questions for me about what my predictions are for over-unders for Media Day tomorrow. And so I have, other than maybe one of these, legitimately no idea what is about to come, so this should be good. I'm excited to find out what you think is going to happen a lot and a little and whatever.
So, like Harrison said, he only knows of one of the four questions. We have four questions loaded up here. The first one is the only one that he guessed ahead of time that I was going to ask, because, I mean, really everybody knows this is coming. But over under 24 mentions of Kobe Bryant tomorrow.
24. Isn't there supposed to be a half?
No, it doesn't have to be a half.
Oh, I thought there had to be a half. All right. Well, no. It shows you how good I am at gambling and how well this game's going to go. But over under on 24 questions about number 24. So I'm going to go under because there's only 20 guys on the roster, and you got to think they – I mean, maybe some of them will get asked multiple Kobe questions, but you got to figure, like, they aren't going to ask, like, Marcelo Huertas a Kobe question or something, or, like, mm-hmm. Travis Weir. Like, what does it mean to come in and replace Kobe, you know? Like, I'm going to go under, although I wouldn't be shocked if I was wrong. I'll put it that way.
Typically, yes, there is a half. There is usually a half, but it had to be 24. Like the
yeah, no,
I don't even care about the opportunity. Like, it would be amazing if this was a push.
Yeah,
like if it was mentioned exactly 24
Kobe questions.
And for those of you listening ahead of time, you know to count how many times you hear Kobe questions if you're actually going to tune in at 11 a.m. to the coverage. That is on Spectrum. They renamed themselves, right? They're not Time Warner anymore.
Spectrum Sportsnet, yep.
Spectrum Sportsnet. So maybe the Time Warner curse will have been lifted.
Yep.
All right, next question. Over under, I'll add the half this time, 50 and a half mentions of some kind of process.
Some kind of process. So
yeah,
like
the this entire like rebuilding the rebuilding process, and,
the,
yeah,
the culture the, building process, the
exactly.
You know, the maturation process. So basically over or under 50 uses of the word process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely going over.
Over.
Yeah. Because what you know players are going to be using it too, because mm-hmm. they're going to talk about how things are a process. And mm-hmm. like I feel like process is not only a component in questions a lot, but it's also a big component in coach speak. So I'm going to go over 50 uses of the word process tomorrow.
What would the number have been set at for you to consider an under? 100?
No, it wouldn't have had to go much over 50. Maybe 60 or 70.
Yeah.
Even 50 is already pushing it. I'm just very convinced in this Lakers team's ability to do coach speak. And also, I think Luke Walton's going to be a big user of this one. And we know D'Angelo Russell likes to talk about it because we always like to make the jokes about how he trusts the process and all that stuff during the Hinkie era. So I think between those two, we'll get like a solid amount. And, you know, I think reporters are going to ask those questions. So I think it'll be over 50.
It's too bad the Lakers don't have like a truly fat player, because then there would be the opportunity that they said in order to cut weight, they cut processed food out of their diet completely. That would have been phenomenal. It's too bad. I'm not going to get a response. Speaking of, we'll move on to the next question. Over under 12 and a half mentions of weight or muscle gain.
Oh, over. Definitely over, because all these guys are going to be praising each other's muscle gain over the summer.
I didn't even think.
And reporters are going to be asking about guys if they gained muscle over the summer. It's definitely that's way too easy. It's definitely over 12. Like I would bet my month's salary on over 12 and a half.
All right. You heard that, Silver Screen Roll. Last question.
Wait, hold on. Wait now. Hold on a second.
All right. Last question. Over under half a time, so 0.5 times, that D'Angelo Russell says the word Snapchat.
I'm going to go under. I don't think he's going to specifically mention Snapchat. I don't think he's going to mention Snapchat. I think that situation may be asked, and they'll talk about how the process of rebuilding their friendship is going. But I don't, shout out to process, but I don't think that he's actually going to use the word Snapchat.
It's really too bad that Nick Young, you know, hasn't seemed to have gotten over this whole thing.
Well, he did, to be fair, he did say that he was trying to get, like, he can't stay mad forever, I'm trying to get past it, that kind
right,
of thing.
But I'm just saying, like, I still don't think he's at that spot where he can, like, make fun of the situation, because
no, probably not. I do not imagine he's going to be doing a Foot Locker ad where he throws D'Angelo's phone in the ocean or something anytime soon.
Well, what I meant was it'd be great if Russell could somehow, like, be one of the people recording Nick Young's interviews. One of the
scrums. Oh my God. Can you imagine if a photo of that went out of D'Angelo Russell in the press scrum for Nick Young?
If I were the Lakers PR people, or if I were Nick Young or D'Angelo Russell's PR people, I would advise that they do something like that and just poke fun at the situation and hope to move on.
I hope they do that. That would be the funniest thing ever. I mean, it'll never happen, but that would be hilarious.
We're going to have to Photoshop that somehow. Like, maybe there's a picture.
There's that
of,
picture
like,
of D'Angelo doing Kobe's locker room thing. And, you know, when he was recording it in the locker room, uh-huh. There's that picture that went around. So all we need to do is get some of the Photoshop wizards that listen to this podcast, and mm-hmm. or maybe I'll do this tomorrow if I have some time in Photoshop class, and, yeah. You know, get D'Angelo around Nick Young's press scrum. That may be...
If you do that in class, I need you to give this response back to the professor if they were to ask you what you're doing. Look, man, I'm just trying to go viral.
Like that. I'll tell him that. He's witty. He might get it. Shout out to Professor Barber.
All right.
I will be in Photoshop class tomorrow after Media Day. I'm not even kidding. So
no, I really hope this happens. All right. That does it for the Media Day over-unders. If you have any other ones before the thing airs at 11 a.m. That you would like to add to this, give us a shout-out at Locked On Lakers. And it has to be – you have to mention at Locked On Lakers for, you know, to get the retweet or the favorite or the, you know, the reply or whatever. And if it happens after, you know, the Media Day airs – we'll still give you the shout out because there are some of these that we should have mentioned and we just didn't.
But yeah, and if you do that Photoshop yourself tomorrow, please at Locked On Lakers and we will be retweeting the best ones for sure.
Exactly. All right. So before we move on to the actual serious conversation that's going to take place here regarding the impending training camp, the Rams won again. They beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Dodgers won today, so it's just a really exciting time in Los Angeles sports. Unfortunately, there is no Locked On Dodgers podcast. There aren't Locked On MLB podcasts.
We don't have Locked On MLB yet. Yeah.
Yeah, yet. Keyword yet. But we do have a Locked On Rams show, and it is hosted by Travis Rogers. The Rams are on a winning streak. They're basically the hottest team in the NFL other than the Minnesota Vikings and other 3-0 teams. But still... two pretty quality wins in a row, so make sure you check out Travis Rogers talking about that, or, as we said last time, any of the other Locked On NFL shows, as we are 3 weeks into the book somehow already of the NFL season. The year is flying by. So check out the Locked On NFL Network, the Locked On NBA Network. There's a Locked On NFL show that's really good. I think that's Matthew Williamson. Or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. I think it might just be Matt, but yes.
And then there's Locked On NBA, which is, that's David, right? David.
Yeah, that's David Locke. He does excellent stuff over there. And, mm-hmm. You know, shout out to the Podfather.
All that good stuff. I can't believe you haven't said that to him directly.
Well, I you know, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the right time.
All right. So let's go ahead and jump into the conversations that we had lined out before the show started. Which training camp battle are we most interested in? I'll start first. It's Marcelo Huertas and D'Angelo Russell. We just don't know who's going to start.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, I guess Russell could demand to be traded or something. Yeah.
could you imagine?
Or like just
the
quit.
Firestorm that would – yeah. Could you imagine the firestorm if that actually became a thing? Like, oh. Lakers Twitter would melt. It would just melt.
I think people would be asking for – I almost said I think people would be asking for the former head coach back if that was
the case. Oh, man.
Because at least he started D'Angelo Russell at least, so.
Yeah. All right, but that's my totally non-facetious at all training camp battle that I'm looking forward to. Which one do you have your eye on?
I think the backup center spot. I think actually Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation actually wrote like a really good piece about this today, just kind of rounding up the situation. So I hope I'm not overlapping too much with him, but it's the same kind of stuff that we talked about a little bit with Tom. I'm very interested to see if Tark, but I don't think it's going to be Ivica Zubats is going to be the backup center. I mean, he'll obviously get token consideration, but I really think that it's going to be down to Tark Black or E.G. on Leon. And I'm like, you know that I'm not that high on E, but I mean, I guess we'll see. Like the Lakers know more than I do. So I guess we'll see what happens with E. And I don't know. I think it should probably be Black. I really like what he brings to the table. I really think I've said this before, but I really think that his screening is so underrated, but so valuable. Like, I think that was a huge part of Clarkson being able to break out 2 years ago, was that it was Tarik Black playing in the pick and roll with him and just setting kind of these thunderous, just immovable screens and then rolling to the basket. And it's really simple, but he's just really good at it. And he can catch lobs and he can finish. And I think having that kind of guy in there when, you know, either Clarkson or Russell is running those backup units, I think could be really helpful. And so in my mind, he has the edge right now, and I'd like to see him kind of get that playing time. But like I said, we'll see what E brings to the table. I know there are people that are smarter than me, like Ben Rosales seems to think that E has kind of the edge there right now, or at least could, because of his skill set and his shooting. He's a little bit higher on E than I am. So I think that right now that's kind of the most in flux spot right now on the Lakers roster, because when you think about it, D'Angelo Russell is going to be the starting point guard. That much is certain. I guess we don't technically know who the backup guard there is, but there probably won't be that many minutes there. Shooting guard, the shooting guard rotation is Clarkson and Lou Williams, most likely. The small forwards are Brandon Ingram and Luol Deng, and then Anthony Brown in any leftover minutes whatsoever. And then power forward is Larry Nance Jr. and Julius Randle, and then Deng a little bit. So I think that center spot with Mozgov probably only playing a little upwards of, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a game, I think it probably closer to 25, judging by your eye roll. I think that backup center spot is really where the biggest opportunity is for one of these backups to kind of carve out a role for themselves. So I'm curious to see whether or not it ends up being Black or E grabbing that spot. And I just went really long, but it's because you can barely talk. So
I just wanted to point out, for those of you who were following along there, there was a moment in time where Harrison said he's not as high on E, which is hilarious. It's just the sentence itself. E as in ecstasy. Like, it's good to know that you are not.
And takes it out of context.
Oops. All right.
We'll cut that out.
Which part? You saying that or me pointing it out?
The whole segment.
Okay. So we got to record a whole new thing. All
right. Got to record it again. Too bad we're not using my app.
All right. So the battle that I'm looking forward to, and actually it was the other thing that I found interesting that you mentioned in your spiel, was how you said Larry Nance Jr. before Julius Randle. And it's interesting to me.
I was just going alphabetical off of the roster, but.
Okay, sure.
I was.
What would you say if you were to try to figure out odds on this? Is it a 30-70 chance that Nance winds up the starting power forward? I mean, is this the kind of thing they could even find out in training camp? Is this the kind of thing?
No, I think Randle would have to be either Nance would have to be unbelievable or like out exceed all projections, all reasonable projections for him, or Randle would have to just be atrocious in camp to give up that spot. Because I really think that I think that Randle's going to get at least the first 10 to 20 games at minimum to kind of show that he can stick it there.
What do the Lakers owe Randle in that respect?
It's not that they owe him anything. It's just that he's kind of the lottery pick. He's the higher touted guy, and he's kind of more of the unknown as far as ceiling, I guess. Like Larry Nance Jr., we kind of think we know basically what he could be, even if he hit his peak. And Randall, it's like, you know, I don't think that they're sure yet. And it's just everything you hear out of people in the organization is just they're really high on him. And so I really think that he's going to get a chance to prove himself. And, you know, so to some degree, that's probably pumping him up a little bit. But or even, you know, if you want to get, pessimistic isn't the right word, but you want to be cynical or look read between the lines, maybe they're bumping up his kind of trade value. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to get his shot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would say it's more of like a 5 to 95% chance that Nance winds up starting compared to Randall at the end of training camp. But with all that said, I could see a situation coming up in which it's not even that Randall doesn't play poorly. It's that they see that the fit is more ideal there with Nance. And that would make up the 5% chance. If it's so obvious, if it's so glaringly obvious that one fits better than the other, then that's the one scenario in which – because I don't even think it's about individual play.
I just think that as far as training camp and the preseason goes, a lot of that, even if Randall has issues, they're going to chalk it up to adjustment. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say it's adjustment to a new system.
And personally, too, I would also say that, you know, I look at basketball from a coaching standpoint, from a former coaching standpoint. And in terms of...
Should we be calling you Coach Anthony Irwin?
I mean, I have as much credence as other people who were formerly called Coach. From a coaching standpoint, the sheer competitiveness that's going into this training camp battle between Nance and Larry Nance Jr. or Larry Nance Jr. and Julius Randle. I just picture Larry Nance Jr. as like A-Rod staring into the mirror. But Randle and Nance are going to be – it's going to be an absolute dogfight. Every single set.
Those scrimmages would be fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. So – from that standpoint, that's why I think I'm the most interested in that training camp battle, and also because it's the most evenly matched, I would say. You know, yes, the odds are obviously way in Randall's favor that he starts, but in terms of athletic and basketball ability, man, that's a fun one. That's a really fun one. Any other training camp battles that you have your eye on at all?
Just the battle for the final roster, I think.
That's a great segue. That was well done. Who gets cut? There are five guys that need to get cut somehow.
Yeah, five guys need to get cut, and it's not easy. So I actually went through and mapped this out. I grabbed the grid of Lakers players, and I was trying to go through and mark them. And if you look at it, it basically comes down to that there are six guys competing for the last spot, essentially. I think that there are basically 14 guys that are all but guaranteed to make the final roster. So I'll just run through those right now. You can tell me if you disagree with any of them. And I think there's one that maybe I could see a slight disagreement on. Tarik Black just got re-signed in the offseason. He's going to make the final roster.
Absolutely.
Anthony Brown. And that's the one where it's like, okay, maybe he's in that group of right now I have six guys in there. But I still think he's ultimately pretty much a lock for the final roster, unless he's just horrendous in camp. Mm-hmm. Jose Calderon, Jordan Clarkson, Luol Deng, Marcelo Huertas, Brandon Ingram. Maybe on the bubble, that guy. I'm just kidding. E.G. Onleon. And theoretically, he, since it's only 250,000 guaranteed, could be in one of these bubble spots. But again, I think he would just have to be horrendous. I think there's a little bit of a kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You'll be on the roster guarantee there because of getting him to leave his Chinese team and come over here. So I think he's pretty much a lock. Timofey Mozgov, probably unlikely they give up on the contract this early. So I think he's a lock. Larry Nance Jr., Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, Lou Williams, and Ivica Zubats. Any disagreements there?
I agree. I would say that I'm lower even still somehow than you are on Brown.
Yeah, I there's a chance he could be in this bubble group, but I still think that since they just took him with the second round pick a year ago, I think he and that gives him enough kind of stock and like, okay, we used an asset on this guy, like let's give him one more year type deal. Okay, so that leaves Zach August, Julian Jacobs, Thomas Robinson, Nick Young, Meta World Peace, and Travis Weir. So Jacobs, Weir, and probably August, I'm willing to say, and Robinson, I think, are pretty much just gone, right? I mean, like, unless they really, really show out in camp.
Did you include Thomas Robinson in that group?
Yes.
I disagree on Robinson. I actually think he could impress.
Okay, but enough to make the roster, given the front court?
Yeah. Yeah, and okay. Here's why. He has the kind of skill set, and he has the type of athletic ability that, like, he was at one point the number 5 overall pick.
Yeah.
And it's not like they would keep him because he's a number 5 overall pick, but he's just, you know, he was drafted that high because he obviously impressed people on draft day. And if this is him trying to impress people all over again in a similar fashion, I think he can do that.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of assuming he's gone just because he was the last guy that they added. I think he's a defender. He's going to end up on the defenders would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or go overseas or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I see
him going overseas before. And actually, I could see another NBA team picking him up, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
If he gets... I'll say this. If I were Robinson's agent, I would ask that the Lakers cut him sooner rather than later.
I don't see he made it so close to camp. I don't know that there's that much interest in him league wide for one of these last roster spots.
I mean, it's like Tom.
I think he's going to be one of those guys that ends up in the D League and ends up getting called up and playing a role somewhere, maybe. But I think he'd probably have to go that route.
Yeah, I just.
Because it's in camp, it's like somebody... teams already have those guys and like signed up for their rosters.
How many top
Maybe
five
injuries
picks.
Force a team's hand, though.
How many top five picks, you know, we're only 4 years later, right?
Yeah.
How many top five picks in 4 years is out of the league? And
I don't know.
And they would have to be like absolute busts, like Hassan Whiteside. Or no, not Hassan Whiteside, the guy who was with Memphis, and even he stuck around just because he was 7 feet tall. Yeah, there you go. He stuck around because he was 7 feet tall. I can't think of many top five overall picks that are just out of the league. And I don't know if you consider the D League out of the league, but I mean not on an NBA roster 4 years after being taken number 5 overall. I just don't. That's crazy. And I don't think he's that bad.
I think it's a numbers game. I just can't see him making it in this crowded front court.
Right. But I do see him. That's what I'm saying. Like, if I was his agent, I would request that the Lakers, they say, look, you have a quick look at him, and we would prefer that you cut him sooner rather than later in the hopes that he joins on with another training camp.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Xavier Henry, I think, is already on his second training camp invite.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure about that.
I think he was, because I think there was
some interest
from
New Orleans.
I believe
you. I just have not been up on Xavier Henry news.
Yeah, but I'm just saying this kind of stuff happens as people position themselves getting into training camp. And if I was the agent, like that's just doing your due diligence. Yeah. That's in his best interest.
Okay, well, so I guess maybe he's kind of in the mix for this, but really, I think that him, Weir, Jacobs, and August are most likely cut. And so that leaves Meta World Peace and Nick Young battling for that 15th roster spot. And, I mean, it makes, it raises the question, are the Lakers actually, are they going to cut Nick Young? Like, is it as much of a certainty as we thought it was?
All right, you have to choose between one over the other. Who would you rather have, Robinson or Nick Young?
Me personally, Robinson.
Okay. You have to choose between Robinson and Artest. Who would you rather keep?
I mean, probably Artest, but I'm not the Lakers. That's
right,
the thing.
I'm just...
I think that they value... kind of the intangibles a little bit more than necessarily we do, for right or wrong.
Nick Young's intangibles?
No, okay, I meant in terms of meta. Nick Young in terms of Nick Young already has his contract.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. I think Robinson would have to be insanely impressive for them to cut Nick Young and world peace for him.
How about Nick Robinson or Anthony Brown?
I'm honestly not sure.
That's what I'm saying. I think because those are the three guys. I agree with you if you're ranking those guys in terms of like what's the word I'm thinking of? Probability that they're actually going to make the team. Like if you were to, you know, rank, I guess it would go Brown, Meta, Nick Young, or Nick Young, Meta, right? I would say Robinson belongs in that tier of people in this grouping.
Okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. So,
and I'm not out here. I'm not standing for Thomas Robinson.
Are you his agent?
You don't see this stuff, Harrison.
Anyway. Okay, so this went a very different direction than I was prepared for it to go. Thomas Robinson love aside, do you think that the Lakers are going to move on from Nick Young? Like, is this going to happen?
I hope so. Because
the fact that they're bringing him into camp is, you know, like, they could have let him go after that deadline and stretched his contract just over the net, you know, starting next year, stretched it.
Right. I think they gave him the opportunity to kind of come into camp and just don't be a jackass. Like it's one of those invites. Just don't, like, I was just at a wedding, right? And sometimes you offer invitations to people and it's just like, just don't throw up on the table that you're sitting at, please.
Did your invitation say that? That was mean of them.
Well, no, there was actually somebody at the wedding who did that.
Oh, so, okay. Air quotes, somebody. All right.
It was an imaginary friend named Fred.
Yeah. It was Fred. All right.
But I think that's kind of that was the terms of saying to Nick, look, we signed you to this deal. Before you signed this deal and while you were with D'Antoni, you were a valuable player. We think you might be able to get back to about maybe 50% of that, right? Right now, he's at 0% of that. He has none of the value he previously had, right? He had other teams calling him. He was able to negotiate a 4-year contract from the Lakers that, according to some people, he took a pay cut to stay in Los Angeles. Like, I've seen reports of that stuff, which is crazy to me. But
stay swag.
with Nick Young, I think it benefits both the Lakers and Nick Young for Nick Young to come to training camp and make the roster. Because at this point, if they're going to keep him, it's with the purpose of either he is a productive player on the roster or he gets his trade value up high enough to where another team just says, all right, we'll give you a highly conditional second rounder for the guy.
Right? No team's giving anything up. The Lakers are going to have to give something up to get a team to take him. I don't think that – not even the Bucks are desperate enough for wing depth to give up something.
I don't know, man. Every single training camp – or every – not training camp. Every single trade deadline, some contender convinces himself they need another – scorer off the bench. That's the only thing Nick Young can do in the NBA right now.
Oh, I think the only thing Nick Young can do in the NBA right now is shoot. I don't know that we can specify based on his shooting percentages the last 2 years that score is the most likely outcome from that action. But
here's where somebody inserts the gif of him walking away and like looking back at the basket. All right, so I don't know. Do you think he makes it through training camp?
No. I think out of that bubble group, the guys that are on kind of that 6-guy list that I came up with of kind of fringe guys, I think August, Jacobs, Robinson, Young, and Weir get cut, which leaves Meta.
I can't lie. I'd be a little disappointed if Meta makes the team.
Yeah, I don't think that you'd be alone. I just think that I don't, you know, we talked about this. We don't have to get all the way into it again. I just think that I get the sense that they value his intangibles and his ability to reach the roster over like having him as an assistant coach or something like that. Like they want him in the locker room as a player and that type of thing. I just don't think that they would assign him to cut him. That's not the sense I'm getting from everything that you read and everything that you hear coming from kind of out of the organization and out of the local media.
You don't think it's a here, we'll give you a shot kind of deal?
There's that's I mean, we have to allow for that, obviously, but no, I don't think so.
Cause that's the way I read the situation when they signed him. Was like, look, we'll try it out. If you show that you really belong here, because at the end of the day, at some point, the Lakers need to start fielding a really good team.
Yeah.
And that's a roster spot that could go to a D-League candidate, you know, who surprises, and, you know, or some transaction that comes down the line where the Lakers take on money, you know, so that they can get another draft pick or something. That's the kind of stuff that
they've traditionally liked to roll with 14 guys.
Right. So I would say it's as likely that none of the people that we're talking about make it as any of these people that we're talking about make it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption.
So anything else that you have to add before we jump into your...
Well, I have a hot take for a direction they could go to free up one more spot on the roster.
Oh, no. Don't.
Are you ready?
The sound. Give the sound, and I'm terrified right now.
Okay. First of all, I got to start this off by asking, what are you doing, Jordan Clarkson? You know, like this whole weekend, like, you know, everybody was obviously tuned to Jordan Clarkson's social media feed. But one of the things that I noticed was that he criticized his head coach's game on the court. Like Luke Walton, he's nice enough to when the Lakers young kids are out there and there's only 9 of them. Luke Walton's like, you know what? I have a chronic back injury. I'm going to get out there and play with you guys just because I want to be a part of the team and I want you guys to be able to scrimmage. And what does Jordan Clarkson do? He trashes his head coach's game. I'm not going to look up the tweet and exactly what he said, but he disrespected the Lakers head coach. Bottom line, publicly disrespected the Lakers head coach. Maybe he should take a lesson from D'Angelo and just admit that all he did his entire childhood was play as Luke Walton in 2K. So, Jordan, where do you get off dissing a 2-time NBA champion? Right? He won 2?
Yes.
2-time NBA champion. Why don't you show some respect, Jordan? How many rings have you won? Oh, that's right. 0.
All right. Can I cut in for 2 seconds just really, really quickly?
Yeah, that's fine.
I feel like it's unfair to roast somebody and ask that they be cut without...
Shut up, Anthony. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Maybe, Jordan, you should spend less time on Twitter criticizing the man who came in to develop you, left the defending champion Golden State Warriors, who blew a 3-1 lead in the finals and actually aren't the defending champions. But still, they are the defending Western Conference champions that he left to come here and develop you. And so maybe instead of spending your time on Twitter dissing him, you should spend more time on Twitter changing your password. Hacked 3 times in 1 weekend? What was the password? Password? Like, and as for Luke, just because D'Angelo is so excited to see literally anyone else head coaching the team other than the last guy, that he's following you around giving you standing ovations for talking to reporters for a whole 2 minutes without calling him soft, doesn't mean that every single player is going to instantly give you the respect you deserve. Man up! Man up as a head coach. being too buddy-buddy with the guys, and they're already stepping all over you. He has to send a message. I know they just gave Jordan Clarkson a kajillion-dollar deal, but this is why you don't give young players money. Jim Buss made this mistake, and now they all have to clean it up. The Lakers have to cut Jordan Clarkson to show Luke's authority. Harrison out. And that was Harrison's hot takes.
So that just happened.
Yeah.
That just Usually I try to cut in there, but honestly, he had such great momentum that it was just not even worth it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I told you.
A couple notes after the fact. A couple notes after the fact.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm not even disagreeing. I think Jordan Clarkson deserves to get cut. But... I did find it interesting that Tarik Black, the guy who's trying to win one of the aforementioned training camp battles, was out there like, yo, coach is balling. Oh, shit. And then Jordan Clarkson, who has a starting spot already lined up, is like, no, man, we're killing him.
No, see, I took that the other way. I was like, Tarik Black, why are you admitting that Luke Walton is killing you in these workouts? Like... That you're not helping your case. Like, he wasn't, like, he's not out there like, yeah, Luke Walton was killing me in my one-on-chair workout.
Yeah, I just found it the juxtaposition, that the difference in dynamic between those two situations was hilarious. Because we all know, like, I sucked at basketball growing up. We've all been on teams where there was stuff the starters could say to the coach that the bench guys just couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, or if you were like really, really far at the end of the bench, you could say basically whatever you wanted because it's not like you were going to get cut from your high school team. I was the last guy. I was that guy. I was the smart ass. It's shocking, I know. But there were that's the exact kind of thing. Did he claim he was hacked?
Jordan Clarkson? No, not for that. I mean, there were other times this weekend where he was clearly hacked. That wasn't one of them. Mm-hmm. He said, yo, man, they got to rephrase this. Who was he out here killing?
Right. Like, no, I have the tweet in front of me.
Yeah. And then later he kind of joked and he said a coach has game though. He was clearly just messing around. But
so Luke Walton caught up to him and was like, hey, man, I might have to work for a contract if this coaching thing doesn't work out.
Yeah, no, but like, oh my God. But yeah, there were other points this weekend where Jordan Clarkson was 100% clearly hacked.
I don't follow Jordan. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you should. When he gets hacked, it's, kind of funny sometimes. Well, I mean, people don't hack Jordan Clarkson. Come on. You have better things
to do. Although, Jordan, get a different password.
Yeah, Jordan, change it to like password 2 or something.
Raise the case in one of those, or something like that.
I mean, you got to change it.
Make the 0 or make the O a 0 in password. Something.
Okay, I think we just found out Anthony's password. So, guys, give that a try on at Anthony Irwin LA.
I can guarantee you nobody's ever getting my password. Oh, shoot. You know my passwords. This is an actual thing. All right, well, I'm going to leave now before Harrison blurts out my password. This was a fun show. I hope that I will sound better for Tuesday's show when we talk about, reaction
media
from
day.
Media
There's
Day.
There's always fun stuff coming out of that.
There's going to be a phenomenal segment of 50 Shades of Shade. I feel perfectly content.
I think we can pretty much guarantee that we're going to have about 50 sound bites of shade to break down.
Yes. At the whole show just might be 50 Shades of Shade. Locked on Shade. All right.
Lakers training camp now without that guy who was here last year. Not Kobe, the other one.
As always, you can find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Again, use the promo code LOLakers. We are giving away money, kind of, sort of, not really. And we will talk to everybody again Tuesday. Thank you, everybody, for sticking through this show with me sounding the way I do. Batman is not great to listen to for long stretches, and I understand this. So here we are.
So this is Anthony, and I'm going to sign off now. Thanks, Harrison, for coming on and bringing us your excellent insight. You're welcome, Anthony. Thank you. I really appreciate that. So we'll talk to all you guys tomorrow after Media Day.
Shouts to Brian Cook. I haven't already shouted out him, have I?